What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blindside Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and of course, right there is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? How you guys doing? Welcome back.
Yeah.
We are fired up today because we got some burning hot questions to answer for the NFL in this upcoming season. We are locked and loaded, ready to go. Super excited. And if you haven't done so already, help our media family grow. Go to grumblingsmedia.com. Check out all different shows there. We got political shows. We got sports shows. We got entertainment. Everything you need and love is all there. Grumblingsmedia.com. Make sure you go there. You can also follow and subscribe with us at rumble.com, YouTube, Facebook, and anywhere you get your podcasts. That's right. You got Apple. You got Spotify. You got Pandora. You got Google. Everywhere you need to go is all there for the best shows in the business. Make sure you tune in.
Ooh, yeah, Joe. I'm super excited. That's right. Welcome, everybody. I even have my pineapple shirt on, and as the international symbol for welcome. So welcome, everybody, here listening with us. Pleasure to be here. Joe, again, it's you know, early stages. We got rookies reporting now to camp and everything, right. Getting their new jerseys, their helmets all strapped up, everybody mm-hmm. playing together. Some, you know, it's interesting to see some of the veterans that show up, you know, to do some of these practices, you know, with these rookies and stuff. And get the work in. But, you know, not a whole lot going on. So for us, we're going to do some biggest, hottest questions right now. We mm-hmm. can try and answer just prematurely ahead of the time, just right. to get some talk going and see what we can possibly think of this one and see if maybe at the end of the season that we picked it this early and then it ends up coming to fruition. So it'd be pretty awesome. So follow along with us. If you have questions out there, definitely light up the comment section. Drop a question in the comments.
Yes.
Let us know. Let's start playing, Joe. Let's get down to it. So again, one of the questions here we go. What head coach will be on the hot seat this year? And of course, you know, it's going to be a few. We're going to get around that, you know, that magical time to where, you know, the trade deadlines go in and all this stuff. And coaches really got to make a move to make something happen to their team.
Right.
You know,
right.
whether it's hit that, you know, bar to gotta get that reset going or make that, you know, emergency move to propel yourself towards the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, too, is that, you know, what head coaches will be on the hot seat for the upcoming season? And this is very difficult, actually, because when we were kind of doing our homework and everything, we're looking through all the new regimes that exist now and some of the other regimes with other teams that have kind of been there for maybe a year or two, maybe 3 years, but they're pretty successful. They're kind of solid in that aspect. So it's almost like we had to nitpick a little bit with this. But I got to say, like, the first one that kind of comes to mind, and I know that there was rumors with his name last year in talks. It's not because the team is bad, but Kevin Stefanski from the Cleveland Browns is one that kind of is interesting to talk about, because when you look at the team, especially on paper, even on the football field, very solid, not really too many weaknesses on that team, and very, very competitive every single week, even playing in that division. The, you know, the AFC North is crazy to play the Steelers and the Ravens and what have you, like in the Bengals. Like, it's a lot to deal with. So very competitive, very tough division to play in. But there was rumors about Kevin possibly being ousted this past season, and he kept the job. But going into this season, it's like, okay, what have you done for me lately? And this is how coaching works. It's like, usually you get a leash about 2 to 3 years. And then if you haven't made it deep into the playoffs, if you haven't made it to the Super Bowl, it's like, okay, you're done. Check, please. You're out of here. And let's move on and try to find the next guy. So for Cleveland, it's an interesting situation. They have a team capable of winning right now, but they just haven't been able to get to the top of the hill and kind of look down to see what they can do afterwards. But, and I understand, you know, you have the injury situation with the quarterback happening often the last couple of years. He's missed time, and they're just hoping that this year is going to be way different, where everybody pretty much stays healthy, and they're going to try to make a run. They're going to try to push for the division. They're going to try to get deep into the playoffs. So Kevin Stefanski comes to mind for me.
Yeah, and that all depends on the health of Deshaun Watson and even in quarterback play. We still really haven't seen him be that guy that he was back in Houston. So that goes on to everything. But like you bring it up, the fact that Kevin Stefanski in his coaching time, they started out at 11-5 his first season, but that's when they even had Odell Beckham Jr. and all these guys and Baker Mayfield and these weapons around Baker Mayfield expected to do something. And since then, they've had Nick Chubb there too, running back and playing really well. That talented defense too that they even had for this previous season. So it seems like they have everything put together to get it done. And like I said, they won. They got 11-6 this past season. His first season 11-5, and then in between, just lackluster. So with the talent that he's had on this crew, expect to get results here. And if you're not and you're not competing in this division, that's tough. Where Pittsburgh, again, despite how many times they've been up and down, have been competitive too. And you kind of got other teams, that are really in the mix that they're vulnerable right now. So it's time to make a move. They were able to make the playoffs last year. So if they falter this year, we could potentially see it, but we'll see.
And that's the thing is it's when you play, when you're coaching for a few years, you got to know that, the Grim Reaper's right behind you, because if you haven't had the success, if you haven't made that push, it's going to be the next guy mentality, just like it is with players. Mm-hmm. If players don't pan out, they get 2 to 3 years to show something. If they don't show anything, the team moves on from them. So same thing with Kevin Stefanski. He's no different. Listen, he's a good coach. I think he's a really good head coach, but just not getting the results that you need. After him, I got Sean Payton, which is interesting to talk about because Sean Payton, honestly, there was talks last year with all the turmoil going on in Denver with Russell Wilson and Sean Payton kind of at each other's throats and the disarray that was the offense for the Broncos last year. No one really had an answer. Sean Payton couldn't figure things out. But later on down the season, down the stretch, Russell Wilson did play better. The offense started to pick up on putting points on the board. And there was a little glimpse of hope for the following year until Sean Payton just said, I can't flat out work with this guy. We got to get rid of him. Get rid of the contract. Get rid of Russell. It's time to move on. I want my guy that I want to handpick. Well, you got your answer, Sean. You got Bo Nix in the draft. That's the guy that you targeted. That's the guy that fell to you. And now you have a rookie coming in, which it doesn't always spell production. It doesn't always spell success, especially for a guy coming in with all that pressure in being picked in the first round. Bo Nix, he does fit the system. However, what's to say that by making that big-time decision where Payton didn't want to work with Russell Wilson, that now you have a rookie and he thinks maybe that might elongate his tenure in Denver? But honestly, you've been there for a year or two, and now you're looking to bring in a rookie and say, hey, I got my rookie. Let's win games. Where's all your receivers? You traded away Jerry Jeudy this year, by the way. Cortland Sutton's unhappy. He's looking to be jettisoned out of there, wants a trade away from Denver, does not want to play there. So you got some turmoil in the locker room now on top of that whole quarterback discussion that doesn't bode well going into the season because you don't have too many differences in upgrades on the offense, and you're going to rolling the dice with a rookie quarterback and not a secure – lockdown receiving core, that's got to be concerning going in. And Sean Payton might lose a lot more games coming into the season where it might make ownership, might make the GM start to question his leadership ability, might have to question what is looking forward for Denver. Like, because if they have a dismal season this year with the rookie, and then let's just say he does get another chance even next year and it doesn't get much better, that Sean Payton, I think the conversation has to be there because even in New Orleans, he had issues with some players and some players didn't like playing for him. So keep your eyes on Denver Broncos this year with Sean Payton and see how that all kind of gets ironed out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really agree with the Sean Payton thing, but I guess I could see where you're coming from. He does have the cards kind of stacked there, but we're going to see. We're going to see what kind of guy he is. Again, with you got Sean Payton and his record that he has, working with quarterbacks in the teams that he's had, you're expected to see something and results. And so if you haven't, I get that completely. But they just allowed him to hear. He drafted Bo Nix. This is his guy. You know what I mean? He swung and missed, you know, with the whole, you know, trying to get Russell Wilson where he needed to be. But that wasn't even his guy. He was there for Nathaniel Hackett and tried to fix what was there.
Right.
So now I don't think they would get rid of him after this year. They want to see what goes. And then he's kind of like the long term, I think, for them. You know, that's what they got him for. They're like, they got him with his pedigree in the coaching that he has done throughout his career. And mold this team, get it to where we go. So, you know, we can be, you know, a dynasty. You know what I mean? That's what they kind of want with Sean Payton here. So I think it's a little early to try and say you're going to possibly, you know, do a coaching change on this one. So I think they've given them the keys to the Ferrari and say you're going to test drive a few years here, you know, and get it going.
Well, I mean, the one thing that I'll say is that, you know, I don't think he has a kind of long leash, but at the same point in time, you need results. And by dismantling your offense already, doesn't spell a good thing going forward. So Sean Payton, that's why I think it's an interesting topic to kind of bring up, because with the organization making that big decision, and Sean Payton definitely wanted that to happen, now everything is all on him. So if there's not success, or at least something to show of success, it's going to come crashing down on Sean.
All right, for me, I got one here. For me, I think Robert Saleh's got to be on the chopping block here. He's been there for multiple years. Finished fourth in the division every year that he's been there, except for last year, which was only third again. And yes, you could say even, oh well, you know, quarterback issues, stuff like that. But he's had the chances, and you know, and they went and they got you know Zach Wilson, you know, when he was there. You know what I mean? It didn't work out. And at first, the defense wasn't even that good. Yes, they finally are honing in their defense now, but how long can you go with the excuse? And if they don't win with a healthy Aaron Rodgers this year, that's got to be it for him. You got to think, you know, because what's the story, you know, you see with these defensive-minded coach, Joe? You know, it's like they can only get so far if they aren't focusing on the offense enough. It doesn't matter. They're going to be gone. You know what I mean? So defenses can help win you championships. And, yes, he has a good defense, but this offense needs to stop sputtering around and need to, you know, have a good quarterback, because Aaron Rodgers will only get you so far too. You know, he's not in there for the long haul. So you're talking this season, maybe next season. And then what are you doing? What's the plan? What are you going to do? What are you and Joe Douglas, you know, planning here? You know, because if it ain't it, I could see him, you know, the leash is gone on this one. You've seen in previous years have the short leash on these guys. The longest 10 years was since, well, it was Rex Ryan had like 6 years or so, I think. Then yeah. Todd Bowles only a handful. Adam Gase only got two, and now Robert Saleh is on his fourth season, you know, coming up here. So we'll see. And like I said, if you can't win with Aaron Rodgers, I got to say that he possibly could be on the hot seat this year.
Well, here's the thing that I'll say about the Jets, and I have to push back a little bit on that idea, just because they've been slowly building this roster up with Robert Saleh. Now, Robert Saleh, when he came in, that defense was terrible. It wasn't good at all. They didn't have corners. They didn't have anybody. They had Quinion Williams, but they needed other players around him. So when he came in and he started to build his defense, started to build with his type of guys, now you're looking, as of last year, they were a top 10 defense. They were filthy. And on the offensive side, he's not brought in because he's a defensive-minded guy. He's not brought in to just fix the offense. His job is to build that defense up, to give them time, to give Joe Douglas time, to give the offensive coordinator time to build that offensive side of the ball up. So, and you're starting to see that now, because when you look at that Jets team right now, I'm telling you right now, they've built themselves a winner right now this year. They're going to be pushing for that division. And Say it's hilarious, say it's crazy, but I'm telling you right now, when you look at that team, they are built to win now and take over that division. You have, like you mentioned, Aaron Rodgers. Yes, they don't have him long term. They knew that when they got him. They knew that they had 2 to 3 years of him playing quarterback, being the leader of the offense, and keep giving them some buffer time until they do get that future quarterback down the road. So I think they've done an excellent job, especially the last two off seasons. You look at what they've done. They've revamped that offensive line completely now, using free agency, drafting their future left tackle in Olufashanu, which I think is a brilliant move. And you look at the receiving weapons they got now. Like, it's pretty impressive. So I think for the Jets, everything's trending upwards now. Like, yeah, they didn't have Rodgers last year,
well, so you could always make that argument. 29th in the league for the last 4 years.
You know,
so you could only go
losing him was upwards. Definitely going to derail that offense. But when you look at it now, he's healthy again. hopefully they can kind of keep them upright with that new upgraded offensive line, and sky's the limit. So things can turn around really quickly, especially when you already had that core already built with the Jets.
Joe, 18-33 record. 30% of the games they won.
Okay.
You got to win games, and how do you win games?
True.
You got to score points, and they are last just about in the last 7-8 years.
Okay, but that's before Salah.
Yeah, but even now it continues on, and you haven't fixed it.
You got to remember now. When he came in with that roster,
I agree with you, that roster was pretty bad. It's got to be a conversation because you can't be 18-33 and keep your job very long.
But you got to remember that roster was depleted. So when he came in, after 2 to 3 years, he added more talent, and now they're a team that's ready to win now.
Perhaps, like I said, that's why I'm saying it's got to be hot seat. If they're ready to win now and they aren't winning, wouldn't you say he'd be out to be on the hot seat?
We'll see what happens this year.
Yeah,
because okay. Now right. The team's ready to go.
You got somebody else? You got one more?
I got Mike McCarthy. And Mike McCarthy for the Cowboys. Now, people are probably going to point at, well, Mike McCarthy, you know, he went 12-5 last year. Okay.
12 wins, I think, the last three seasons, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, pretty successful head coach, yeah, but.
Well, I think even on that one, it's probably only based on the way Jerry Jones works. Again, if you're mm-hmm. a Cowboys head coach, you're expected to win. And that's been the talk ever since 1995. I mean, you know what I mean? So since they had all that success, you know, between Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer.
But you're expected to win championships, not just win.
And that's why I'm saying
after the 3 years, yes, he's won. They've won divisions. They've gotten to the playoffs, and what happens every time they get into the playoffs? The first round, they lose, and they're out. They haven't been able to get past and get into the NFC Championship game with McCarthy and push for the Super Bowl, make the Super Bowl, anything like that. So, yeah, wins are great, and much like Marty Schottenheimer, if I know some people don't know who Marty Schottenheimer is, but he was a head coach tremendous success. Like McCarthy did with the Cowboys, he won regular seasons every single year, won the division almost every year, and was always making the playoffs every single year, but never made it to the Super Bowl, never could push for that championship, and always faltered. Until after, I don't know, I think he had a pretty long tenure, like 6-7 years, maybe even longer, with the Chargers, and boom, you're fired. Successful coach, but couldn't win the championship, so they moved on from him. Now and nowadays, the leash is way shorter for these guys to win or show something. So, and just like you brought up, Cowboys owner, he doesn't mess around. If he's not getting what he wants, then he's going to make changes. And we've seen it with head coaches, we've seen it with players, with everybody on in that organization. So Jerry Jones is definitely kind of rules with an iron fist, sort of speak. And I think McCarthy isn't necessarily safe, even though he's a winning coach with the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. And Steven, though, I mean, he's playing it a little bit better than his father is. And so see how much of a role he does. But he does also at times do his little, you know, play on words and kind of mess with you a little bit. Just enough to you have a question going on. You're like, he didn't exactly answer the question, you know, give us a defined answer or not. So we'll see. But I mean, for me, I'm actually surprised in how successful they were. You know, when they hired Mike McCarthy, okay. Joe, we were both kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was going to work.
And then even the first year we had Mike Nolan, it's like, let's dust off Mike Nolan's playbook, you know, on defense. So bring him. And then he sucked. And they're like, oh, wait, we got to not do it the old school. We got to change, get with the times. So then they are, you know, started, you know, switching it up and doing better. But I'm surprised his offense has been doing as well as it has, Joe, because, again, I remember him from Green Bay, and towards the end, he was very predictable, spread offense, you know, doesn't really get the running back involved as much as he used to back in early Green Bay days. And I'm surprised that they were able to produce what they were. But, again, if they want to get rid of him this quickly, again, I think that's just crazy because I think sometimes with some of these teams, franchises that you see that are winning franchises, the long game, play the long game, play it out, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. and see how it goes because – I don't think you could ever knock a coach for winning games. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, if you got a coach, well, that's what I mean. I don't get. I mean, yes, okay, they did continuously. Look at Marvin Lewis again. We always have to bring up the fact that Marvin Lewis, having the tenure that he did with the Cincinnati Bengals,
not having great success,
but they were consistently winning and making the playoffs. I mean, and that was keeping his job and stuff like that. But the thing is, the big problem was getting further in the playoffs. So eventually wore on him, and then finally eventually fired. But people were calling for his head a lot longer than when he was even there for. It's tough. It's tough. We'll see if that happens. I mean, I'll be shocked. I mean, because then where do you go? Well, who's going to get as a head coach?
Jerry loves big names.
Big name what? Who wants to be a puppet, though? Because you get big attitudes. The thing about Mike McCarthy, though, too, it doesn't seem like he's going to push back. He's not a big attitude. He's going to give it back to Jerry Jones. You see how it is. When they had their night together, sleeping in the same house with Coco in pajamas and stuff, having a slumber party, and they're hugging each other and being in love and everything. He wasn't pushing back. I'm going to do things my way, this and this. Not like, Parcells and Jimmy Johnson and things like that. Ever since that era where they were winning, they had strong personality coaches that wanted things done their way. And I think maybe even if they do, they got to get back to some of that.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like, you can't expect to win the championship if you don't have top end leadership at that head coach position. And I think Mike McCarthy does have leadership skills, but it's not like as hardcore as like the Jimmy Johnsons of the Cowboys wonder years, you know what I mean? And Barry Switzer of the Cowboys. And like those guys were hardcore. Like, they were throwback coaches. You're puking on the sidelines, he wants you back in the next rep for practice, like no matter what. And obviously, like now everything's a little bit softer now in terms of practices. They can't practice as long. They can't be in pads that much, all that kind of jazz. But I think that's what the Cowboys are kind of missing, is a guy that rules with an iron fist, a guy that takes no holds barred and just, let's go. We're going to get this thing done the right way and now. So let's see if Mike McCarthy can get it done.
We'll see. All right.
And
so there you go.
That's going to be the big deal.
Yeah, that's the head coaches again that we could possibly see on the hot list, on the hot seat this year. Let us know in the comments too what you guys think out there. Any other questions you guys have also for predictions, hot takes.
Do you guys out there, Blitz Nation, do you have any ideas of maybe coaches, whether it be your own coach that you're not happy with, that you want gone, or maybe it's a coordinator, or maybe it's a head coach that we're not thinking of that you want to kind of bring to light? Go for it. Drop it in the comments.
All right, Joe. Again, the next hot question we have is, what NFL player will have a disappointing season? You got one? I got one right away.
Season?
For me, I think disappointing season. I could see Joe Burrow having a disappointing season. Coming off that injury in that wrist, he's actually bulked up a lot. Have you seen this dude?
He looks great
now. He's crazy.
He took the Will Levis training program.
Right? Dude. What's funny, though, it's kind of weird, though. Isn't it weird? Didn't you find it weird when players start talking in the fourth person, I think? Like, he said, when somebody said, hey, looks like, you've bulked up, this, and he's like, yeah, we've got bigger. what is we? Who's we? When you're talking about yourself, we've got bigger.
We're doing things. Is he commenting on like the Bengals team as a whole?
Or I don't know. But why did players all of a sudden start talking against the fourth person? But anyways, but again, coming off that injury, which is a strange injury, because again, he even said in the press conference that he's trying to research this type of injury. It hasn't really happened with quarterbacks, so he's trying to figure out how to rehab it and things. And he's talked to his own teammates, linemen and stuff like that a lot of times.
Just talk to Aaron Rodgers; he's got the answer.
And yeah, I know. Right? Imagine that he goes prep. You start talking about the Will Levis. He comes in, goes into a cave with Aaron Rodgers. He comes out anorexic and everything. He's like, hey,
we're gonna go in the dark room.
The spirit horse told me.
That's that, right. I need here. Take this. It's a natural drug. Just take it.
But again, the knee injury, now the wrist injury. He's got to wear that sleeve, they said, for the rest of his career even.
Yeah, got to protect it.
And they're constantly trying to help this offensive line. And then, again, this team hasn't been, weren't able to make the playoffs last year. But I don't know. I could see him having a down year, and even the team altogether. And Joe Burrow now, I think his career with dealing some of these injuries could be in question, and at least have a disappointing season this season.
Yeah, I could see possibly Burrow being on a decline somewhat, but I gotta say the guy's been working his tail off. Like
I'm not saying it's
I know that's not what you're saying. I just kind of I find it hard to believe that after him coming back 100%, looking like he doesn't practice right now, which he's got good mobility, he's moving around. there's no issues with that wrist anymore. He's flicked the wrist, threw a beautiful bomb today. Like, he looks like the Joe Burrow when before he got injured. So, and the other thing too is I would say if T. Higgins gets moved, either before the season or before the trade deadline, that offense could look a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Where now you're relying on just Jamar Chase. Yeah. Now you're relying on the tight end. Now you're relying on your running backs. Like, I understand. Like, they've addressed the right tackle position. Hopefully it works out for them, but Joe Burrow possibly could take a step back. But
beautiful offensive coordinator too on top of it, Joe. So and you saw last year when he was completely healthy, they're struggling still. So that's what I'm just saying.
Yeah, because he didn't run the ball.
I wouldn't be surprised if they struggle again early on the season. So watch out. Who do you got now?
So I know a lot of Buffalo fans are going to get pissed off at me right now, but I got Josh Allen as being. As being a little bit of having a disappointing season. I know. And you don't want to know what's embarrassing is the fact that you have a playoff caliber team, before the Diggs trade. And I understand Matt Milano losing him was a huge loss last year on defense and whatnot, but you guys had it. Like, you guys the Bills keep getting there, right? They keep getting, they win the division, they get to the playoffs, and maybe they win round one, but then sometimes they lose round one, and it's like, dude, when are you guys going to put it all together and get to the Super Bowl? So it's like we talk about those winning windows closing on teams, and like the times, you know, running out. You know, you have the team to win now. You got to make it happen. And the Bills, they keep extending that winning window a little bit longer. But now you got to look at that. You look at that team, and it's like. I look at some of the names now on defense, like your DNs, like Gregory Rousseau and AJ Epenesa. Those are their starting DNs now. I'm sorry, they don't strike fear in anybody because they might be gigantic DNs or pass rushers, but they are slow. They're not twitchy. They're not going to be that exciting. So I don't see them kind of creating that crazy pass rush that they were getting before those guys. You got Ed Oliver, that's great, but now teams are going to kind of probably look at that team and say, "Hey, let's just double team Ed Oliver every single play and worry about him." And then you look at the secondary of that team; it's not as strong as it used to be. So with Josh Allen losing Diggs, that's a huge loss. Now look at what they did to replace him. They drafted Keon Coleman, who is not—he's fast, but he doesn't have that acceleration, that burst, that quickness that Diggs used to have, that explosion. So you're losing a pretty critical part in that receiving core, and now Josh Allen can't just be like, "Oh, I'm going to throw it to Diggs to bail me out." Now you got Keon Coleman, you got that Shakir kid who's a young up and coming receiver, but again, he's got speed, but he's not like the polished receiver that you need to kind of help. With this offense, no Gabe Davis. He's gone. He's out. So you lose not one but two starting wide receivers, and you replace him with a rookie who you're hoping that turns out to be a big-time stud. And I think he can be, but, again, it's got to be proven on the football field. We can talk about how good he is all the time, but it's got to be proven on the football field. And you got a former backup now starting. You got two tight ends. That's the one thing you got is you got Dalton Kincaid and Knox, Dawson Knox, which is nice. But again, with that loss of that explosion in Diggs, and now you kind of retooled the receiving threats, I'm not so sure it's going to be that impressive of a passing attack. So Josh Allen's going to have to rely on his legs a lot more. Josh Allen's going to have to rely on getting the ball to James Cook a lot more. And I wonder how much this offense is going to change because of that loss.
Right, and that's one thing you bring up again, the fact that they don't have, you know, Stephon Diggs anymore, I think is a bigger – if you look at this, look at the Kansas City Chiefs when they lost, like, Tyreek Hill, and it's like, oh, how are they going to do without Tyreek Hill, you know? And they end up doing fine, and they had, you know, wide receiver by committee. They even had some old goats come back to them. But this team, without Stephon Diggs, is going to be a bit tougher. Yes, he likes Khalil Shakir. That was a nice pickup, you know, that they had last year. And he was a go-to guy for them. Dalton Kincaid, same thing. But for a quarterback of, you know, Josh Allen, where they tried to tell him, hey, kind of stop being you a little bit. You know, as I stay in the pocket, kind of throw a little bit, you know, and not run so much because we want you to stay healthy. And then you take his biggest, you know, buddy there away from him, you know, a guy that was like an elite wide receiver that he can trust and go to. And now you mix them with, you know, a rookie and, you know, some other guys. Again, you got Marquez Valdez, Scantling, they've even added to the team. So
yeah, he just got added, too.
A hodgepodge of guys. It's going to be a lot, like you said, on Josh Allen himself. And I think he's going to put that on himself. And you're going to see him get very frustrated this season. So yeah. I can totally see him be, have a disappointing season.
Patrick Mahomes knows more than anything about MVS dropping the football. So. So Josh Allen might have those same struggles, and that's what you have to expect. So it'll be interesting, to say the least, how Josh Allen responds.
All right, we've got back in the Stoge Age is back with us. He's been with us a few different times.
Yeah,
back in the Stoge Age, pleasure to have you again.
Welcome to the show, bro.
The show, welcome. Okay, and he says, book it. Here you go. He's got it. I'm going to cue it up. Christian McCaffrey's production will drop by 25 to 30%. That's why. That's his hot take this season. And then he also says, "What he says? Using your big boy Big John's formula. You should know that. There you go. Christian McCaffrey now, though. I mean, I can see that again. Him losing 25 to 30%. Yeah, I guess so.
That's a lot.
But." Who knows? Yeah,
I honestly can't see his production going down because they haven't lost nobody. Their offensive line's still solid. They got Brock Purdy. Like, Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk is still there. Mm-hmm. Like, there was all that conversation about maybe they move on from Deebo because they want to pay him his contract upcoming next year. Or maybe and Ayuk is unhappy, so maybe they might move on from him. But John Lynch, the GM, is like, no, we're definitely not moving on from those guys. So, if they are, in fact, in the picture, if they're staying, I don't see that offense changing much. And you still have George Kittle. So it's like with all those pieces around him, plus you have Christian McCaffrey doing what he always does, I don't see too much of a decline going.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right. Anybody else you got in mind that could have a disappointing season?
Yeah. I mean, Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen got traded to the Chicago Bears, and I understand he's mid-30s. He's an older wide receiver, but still getting it done with the Chargers was phenomenal. Catching the ball, running after the catch, scoring touchdowns. Keenan Allen's a gifted player, and he's done it for a very, very long time. Now he's had his fair share of injuries throughout his career, and that's cost him some a lot of games in the middle of it all. But now you go to Chicago. Now you're dealing with a rookie, with Caleb Williams. And on top of it, oh, yeah, guess what? The receiving core is DJ Moore on one side, and you also have to deal with Roma Dunze, who they just drafted high-end. They're going to get him the ball. Caleb Williams already has some chemistry with Roma Dunze coming into this whole thing because they've practiced together. And now you got throw DJ Moore in the mix, who's still an explosive receiver. Throw in Keenan Allen, it's like, it's cool. You guys got tons of weapons now, but Keenan Allen might be kind of like the forgotten guy in all this. He might be feeding Roma Dunze a lot more. He might be feeding DJ Moore, obviously, because he's still that high-caliber receiver. And then you throw in Keenan Allen, who I think might end up moving to slot and still is going to be deadly, but I don't think that production that he once had with the Chargers is going to be there. So because of the extra – where all the footballs are going to end up going all over the football field, he's going to take a step or two back and not be as impactful as he was with the Chargers.
I can see that. Again, a loaded receiving core. Again, if he does even get injured on top of it, that could be poor too as well. And that's the funny thing about Keenan Allen. It's like you think of him as injury prone, but still, even too, when you look at his stats too, he's still getting up there, you know, in multiple 1,000-yard seasons and stuff like that. So when he's out there, he's a threat to have right there. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and that, even if you look at that on a fantasy side, that's got to impact him fantasy wise. You know, all you guys that play fantasy football out there, where do you get a Keenan Allen now in this one? You know, how much do you is that going to affect him? You know what I mean? So that's the one thing to look at it. Not even just disappointing on the season for himself, but fantasy owners out there and guys playing fantasy, of where some of these guys are going to fall because even of the transactions that had happened and in the different teams that they've moved to. You know, so
right. Next one I got, and you're going to love this one, Jim.
Oh, am I?
Because you don't like him either.
Oh, great.
Devin Singletary. Running back.
I guess Giants, a lot of running backs go to the Giants to die.
I'll tell you right now. But I didn't like this player beforehand. Like, right. I understand he had a good season with the Texans or whatever last year. I get it. But I'm just not a huge fan of him being, like, the primary back. And that's what it seems like he's going to be. Like, I still think there's going to be running back by committee approach. But he's going to get the bulk of the carries. He's going to get the bulk of the touches. So Singletary, I'm not really impressed with. I've seen him get tackled fairly easily with arm tackles and what have you. I just don't know what teams are looking at in this guy. Now, I understand he's quick and shifty, but when it comes to running between the tackles, I think that's where he struggles. So had a good year last year with Texans. I think this year is going to be much different. You're going to a different team, an offensive line that isn't as good as the Texans' offensive line, so you might see him struggle a lot more this year. And I'm not saying that because of the Giants' offense, what we saw last season from them. They're different now. They have upgraded that offensive line. They finally got themselves a true number one in the draft in Malik Nabers. So that's going to be something fun to watch. And maybe Daniel Jones progresses better with having that number one option. So, but I just think Singletary is going to be one of those guys that kind of like gets forgotten and left behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm not really – I mean, I understand what you're saying. But, again, I looked at the Devin Singletary the same way you did. So, like, I don't think I'm ever going to be disappointed because I didn't expect much anyway. So, you know, but –
This is for all the people that love that guy.
I don't know. Buffalo Bills fans. You just like the dog to Buffalo Bills fans, I guess, in this one. Joe, you're right. You know?
I can't be nice to everybody all the time.
Yeah.
And last but not least, I'll say Justin Herbert.
That's right. There you go.
Justin Herbert from the Chargers is going to have a decline year. And it's going to be – it's like two parts. You got a new offense with Jim Harbaugh. He does love to run more than pass. That's his MO. And he's going to bring that same kind of physical mentality. We saw it even in the draft. People were kind of wondering, like, oh, are they going to take Malik Nabers? Because they need receiving core. Are they going to take Nabers or Roma Dunze or someone like that? And he didn't surprise me, but he surprised a lot of other people and said, no, we want the best tackle on the board. We want Joe Alt. Because they are looking to be physical up front, ground and pound, run the football down your throat. And then, oh, yeah, just when you think it's another run, then Herbert's going to go on a bootleg and then throw it to someone wide open and down the middle of the field. So that's the offense that he's going to run. And because of that offense, I think Herbert isn't going to have as glamorous passing stats as he did with previous coaches. So there's going to be that little bit of decline. And look at the receiving core. It hasn't been rebuilt. They've signed a couple of free agents, and then they still have that Quentin Johnson kid who they drafted a couple years ago, obviously before Jim Harbaugh's regime, but still, he looks like he's going to be the starter. I'm very disappointed in his progression as a wide receiver. I know a lot of people had him high end, like number one in that class, but I just didn't see it because his route running isn't that great. He's inconsistent with catching, so that all being said, the receiving core is weaker. You're playing with vets and a young kid who so far hasn't clicked yet. And then throw that with Herbert, where he's a talented quarterback, but now you're playing in a much different offensive scheme. I think his numbers are going to dwindle too.
Yeah, and if you're going into, you know, when we looked at this, Joe, in the before the draft, we were like, all right, they can't go into the season with Joshua Palmer being your number one. And he's there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got him, Quentin Johnson, and like you said, Ladd McConkey in the draft. They needed to do more. You know, and their only answers were, again, to grab DJ Chark, you know, and a couple others. So, again, young receiving core, and, you know, you don't have that go-to guy. And you see with some of these quarterbacks, that's what they kind of need, you know. And they try to get that with Lamar Jackson a bunch of different times, but the way that scheme was, it never really worked out for him. You know what I mean? But that's what everybody kind of needs. If you take now Patrick Mahomes in the Chiefs, they still can find a way to win, and they do their offense the way it is. But I think the question for them was not losing Tyreek Hill and the guy to burn it downfield and open it up on you. If they lose a guy like, I think, a Travis Kelce and stuff like that, that's a bigger chip in their armor than anything, because that's his go-to guy. That's got the guy that's finding that cushion, settling in, and getting open.
Right.
If you know you lose that, that's gonna you're gonna take a fall on that one. And this much like with Josh Allen here, this is what you're getting with Justin Herbert. And even last year, if I looked at Justin Herbert again, despite even having the injury on his non-throwing hand, he still even looked pretty like mediocre even last year. A lot of different judgment calls that he did even too is where I was even questioning myself. I'm like, have I even been looking at this guy differently? Is he as good as everybody's even saying, you know? And you know, maybe it's just a down year and he can get back to what he was looking like his rookie season. Because, you know, I remember seeing that fire in him, being able to get the passes where they are, shrugging off, you know, the negative plays and keep going. But see, it just looked a bit off last year to where I even questioned his ability at times. And so if he does have a down year because of the lack of talent around him, I totally see that as well.
I mean, yeah, you could, but I'm just going to say, like, he didn't have a terrible year or anything. He threw for over 4,000 yards.
No,
he had 29 touchdowns.
It's not even, like, down. It was just, I don't know, like I said.
I mean, and here's the thing is I hate it when coaches, when they try to change the quarterback or try to change any player for that matter from what they do the best and say, well, we want you to be more regimented. We want you to be more like how we want you to be. You know, the same thing happened with Robert Griffin III, quarterback, you know, his first year, rookie year, was phenomenal. He used his legs a lot. He threw the football, did a fabulous job. And then the next year, it was like, well, we want you to be a more pocket passer. We don't want you to run. We want you just to throw the ball from the pocket. And that tore his game apart. He absolutely looked terrible. And the same thing could be said with Josh Allen, where they tried at one point, tried to make him more of a pocket guy, don't run as much. And then you looked at that offense, and even with Diggs there and Gabe Davis and all that, they were struggling big time until they said, all right, well, maybe we take the training wheels off and just let the guy run like he normally does and mix that in with the pass. And then they were tremendously successful. So don't change what ain't broke and let the guy be what he is. So that's where you're going to keep where he's going to keep having success. So just don't change too much is all I'm saying. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's a guy that can help them win, and I think, yeah, and you always worry about injury, of course, with anybody. Talk about that real quick. Lamar Jackson lost freaking 20 pounds, and that was at 205 pounds. We talk about injuries. That guy, he takes one hit.
Of the guys that probably should have stopped
he
up
He takes
a little bit.
One hit, man. He could be knocked out for the season at 205 playing quarterback. And I understand, yeah, you got to catch him. Yeah, you got to, you know, be able to hit him, but but, man, to play that light, that's scary to me. Same thing with Jaden Daniels. He's coming in at 210. He's still pretty light for his build. So we talk about injuries and everything. Same thing with Josh Allen. But Josh Allen is like freaking 250. You know, he can handle those hits. And he doesn't take them all the time. But I just think you don't want to change too much with Josh Allen. Just let him be him.
All right. That brings up one of the next hot questions of this offseason so far. And we've got what former playoff team will miss the playoffs this season?
I got Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And despite the hype with Baker Mayfield, despite what they've been able to do as a team, I just think that division got stronger. That division got so much stronger. Atlanta Falcons get with Kirk Cousins. That's going to be tough. They're going to be tough to beat. That defense is really tough already. And now that they have a true quarterback, a guy that can win games with those young weapons around him, they're going to be dangerous. You know, you look at the Minnesota Vikings, and everyone's going to be like, yeah, well, they got Sam Darnold, and they just drafted J.J. McCarthy. I'm like, okay. But Kevin O'Connell knows what he's doing in that offense. He's going to make sure both those guys are ready. Whoever wins the job, both those guys are going to be ready to go. And when you look at that surrounding cast that they have, you know, with Justin Jefferson and possibly the best receiver in the league. And then, you know, Jordan Addison, who kind of surprised the hell out of me out of the draft and kind of blew up on the scene. He's going to keep progressing like he is. So they have a very nice team around that young quarterback group that I think they could still make wins happen. I still think they can make some pushes. Then you got Green Bay. Green Bay Packers.
Wait. Before you get to Green Bay,
yeah,
I just want to say Tampa Bay, I got to agree with you there too because I was looking at that whole situation. And I think if that does come to fruition, though, if they do miss the playoffs this year again, I think maybe Todd Bowles will be that other guy that possibly could be on the hot seat, you know, for them. Mm-hmm.
So. And then you got Green Bay, mm-hmm. who, very young team and is already in the winning ways. They added Josh Jacobs, one of the best running backs in the league, to that squad, that already young squad, and to have him and AJ, that's going to be killing it. So in that backfield, I think they've geared up to make that team defensively and offensively, very young team that is also ascending. It's going to make that division super hard to win. So I just think that you look at those teams and then for the NFC in that conference, it's going to be really hard to where I don't think Tampa Bay even makes wild card. I think they end up being ousted by that. And it kind of goes hand in hand with Todd Bowles where it was good while it lasted. And now we're looking for someone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, did you say, you know, Green Bay you think is going to miss too as well? Is that when you're going off the Green Bay? I was going to say, oh. Okay.
No, I'm saying because they are up and coming too, they're going to be up in the playoffs.
They're going to be there again. They were there last year.
Whether they win the division or they make the wild card, it's going to push teams like Tampa Bay not going to be able to make it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, in New Orleans, are they going to kind of right the ship, you know, because they were a bit off last year, you know.
They had no offensive line.
Yeah.
Look at what they did. They drafted Fuaga, right? Mm-hmm. One of my favorite offensive linemen. I love that dude. And what's interesting is on the depth chart, they got him placed at left tackle. So it looks like they replaced Trevor Penning with Talese Fuaga. And I hope he can handle left tackle because I've only seen him play right tackle. That's going to be interesting. If he can kind of lock that end down, this offense, you're going to allow Derek Carr to have more time in the pocket. And then he's going to be able to distribute to all those blazing fast wide receivers that he has.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. But, again, that was another team I was looking at that could possibly miss. I'm looking at, if we're talking former playoff team that was in the playoffs last year and they will miss this year, I'm saying it could possibly be the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, I was kind of surprised that they were able to, you know, get, you know, 10 wins last year and make the playoffs.
They definitely overachieved.
Yeah, even, you know, Mason Rudolph was playing his lights out, and it helped them get there. But I think still, and maybe it's an unfair stigma on Russell Wilson because we're even hearing, talks out of, you know, Steelers camp and stuff, but maybe it's a smokescreen. Everybody's feeling like they have to defend him like crazy because they're like, we haven't seen somebody work as hard in the offseason. Since Antonio Brown, like Russell Wilson. They're saying he's just, you know, just getting
crazy. Oh, he's a really hard worker.
And things like that. So,
yeah, he works really hard.
But I think that's one thing we'll have to look at. What Russell Wilson are we getting? You know, I mean, Super Bowl champion Russell Wilson, this guy that we saw, you know, in the second half of last season or, you know, a little bit before. So
you're going to get the Russell Wilson.
I think
it
would be interesting to see that, and that would help kind of see where we're going to be with that team. And I think they potentially could miss the playoffs.
You're going to get Russell Wilson. Like, there is no what kind. You're going to get Russell Wilson what he is right now. Mm-hmm. He's not the Russell Wilson in his prime. He's Russell Wilson the vet. So if we saw success with him at the end of the season in Denver, I think it's going to be different because now he's in a different environment. He's in an environment where Mike Tomlin is a player's coach. Mike Tomlin is going to support Russell Wilson. He's not going to try to tear him down or blame him for a missed first down or something like that. He's going to support him, which is going to, in turn, you're going to get a better Russell Wilson because you're going to have that chemistry. You're going to have support that Tomlin gives all his players. So I think it's a good fit for him. And for the first time, Pittsburgh has a mobile quarterback where they usually go. And don't get me wrong, Kenny Pickett was mobile too, but they didn't utilize him in that fashion. You know, the run if you have to, but I think now you're going to see this offense kind of change a little bit, be more creative, where Russell Wilson can get out of pocket on a bootleg and either he can run or dump it off to Pat Freiermuth or something like that, George Pickens over the top. Like, there's going to be a little bit more excitement and creativity, I feel like, in the Steelers' offense this year.
The one thing, though, too, is that, say, again, Joe Burrow comes back, plays great, and the Cleveland Browns, you know, they made the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. So did the Ravens. So you're telling me that, you know, if they don't get bounced, say the Pittsburgh Steelers don't make it, you know, I mean, you know, that's fine. But you have all four of these teams, you know, what's the chances of all four of them making it to the playoffs?
It's happening.
You know
before.
What I'm saying? I'm just saying, if Cincinnati bounces back, one of these teams you would expect would have to get dropped out of this. You know,
you would
saying?
Expect that for sure. But again, we've seen crazier things where a whole division mm-hmm. did actually make it because the rest of the conference struggled.
Yeah,
so,
dude. It just sucks. I mean, we saw that, I think, with the NFC East.
East, yeah.
A season or so ago.
Exactly. A couple years ago.
Yep. What else? You got another team that you think is going to get bounced out of this, out of the playoffs here?
No, it's harder. It's really hard to figure out.
Yeah. I looked at the teams that are there. I mean, because it looks like they made sense that they're going to come back again.
Honestly, I could be a real dick and say that Kansas City's not going to make it.
Sit down.
Because I'll tell you right now.
It's all fake news.
It is not. I don't think people realize, like, people hear this all the time. They're like, it's extremely hard. It's hard to put in words, but it's so hard just to make it to the Super Bowl. And for the Chiefs to make it back-to-back, you know what I mean? Like, they made it there. Mm-hmm. They won the chip. Then they made it again and won a chip again. Like, it is extremely difficult to just make it there. And then to win it both times. That's extraordinary. Now the Chiefs are on pace to possibly have the all-time record of consecutive Super Bowl wins. If they get that three-peat, they will go down as a dynasty, hands down. Mm-hmm. Like, they are an amazing organization, well-run, and so successful. You know, people are kind of putting them in the limelight already as being the next Patriots.
Right.
Because they have winning ways. They've won, you know, back-to-back, and now they're going for a third straight.
And they've done it even with turning guys around. It's not like they tried to keep that same, like, nucleus of guys,
well,
you know, around.
It's the
like
same
they've
team, really.
Kind of.
The only guys
they've moved a lot of different veterans in and out and brought new guys in and still made it work.
There's only a couple guys that left that were big-time players for that team. And everyone's going to point at Tyreek Hill. And that was kind of like the turning point to see what are they going to do now that they don't have that explosive receiver to kind of just run by everybody. And they adjusted. They acclimated to what they had and used what they had. You didn't see those 60-yard bombs anymore. Now you're looking at them methodically moving down the field. Yeah, they're still getting chunks here and there, but they're more like progression down the field and then score. So – I think they're gonna. It's gonna be yet again another change in the offense because Andy Reid is super creative. He utilizes everything he has so well that it makes it difficult to stop them. And for the most part, yeah, they've had that nucleus, that young nucleus now, and it's still there. They hit on the quarterback, which is huge. And then you look at Travis Kelce; he's still freaking playing. He's like mid-30s, guys, and he got an extension. How much longer is that guy going to play? So it's like it's a phenomenon that is uncanny to even imagine, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that maybe they don't win the Super Bowl. But they could still make the playoffs, but maybe they get ousted this time. So it's going to be interesting to see how the regular season goes. And mind you, we talk about the Chiefs opening kickoff game, Baltimore Ravens against the Chiefs. It got leaked out somehow before tomorrow's release party.
Release, yeah.
So that's exciting to watch. You know what I mean? You got a former AFC championship game that they're going to bring back, and it's going to be exciting to watch. We'll see how that all kind of irons out. And then guess what? The very next week, the Chiefs play the Bengals. Like, back-to-back, very physically tough teams that you're going to have to play and try to prove that you're still those guys. So it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, we've got a couple more questions lined up. Joe, the next one is going to be what dark horse team will make the playoffs? Now that we said what's going to end up missing, what is a dark horse team you think is going to sneak its way in? Because, if it is Tampa Bay that's out, you have Tampa Bay even on the NFC side. I said Pittsburgh on the AFC side. Mm-hmm. So let's say we enter, take those out, put new teams in. Who we got?
Let's flip-flop. I'm going to go AFC this time.
All right, I like it.
I'm going Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
I really like the progression of Will Levis and what he's able to do in his second year. Building around him, that was the key this offseason. They got a new head coach, former Bengals offensive coordinator, now moves over to the head coaching position for the Tennessee Titans. And you got Will Levis, very young quarterback. You got a revamped offensive line. They drafted a left tackle. Like, things are looking good. They got more weapons at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And It's looking pretty exciting for Tennessee Titans fans. And then you couple that with the defense they already have. They've managed to fill in holes that were much needed. And now you look at this team, it's like, this division can be had by anybody. Now, Texans, they won the division last year. Surprised a lot of people. Not us, but a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. But Tennessee now, I feel like, is going to be that next up-and-coming team this year where they are going to push for that division title. And Jacksonville Jaguars, I know everyone's going to be like, well, what about the Jaguars? They're still there. They're still there, but I don't see enough from Trevor Lawrence. I really don't see a guy that's helping his team get over that hump and maintain that division wins and going into the playoffs. Like, we saw them lose it. They basically fell apart towards the end of the year. They gave that division up in a sense. So I'm not seeing too much ascending for them. I'm not seeing too much togetherness, chemistry or whatnot. So let's see if they can kind of gather the pieces back up and head into the season and push. But Tennessee to me is like a very exciting team to watch after the changes that they made with the roster. And now going into this thing, I think you might see another potential young rookie head coach kind of make a splash with his Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to stay with the AFC on this one, too. I can see that the Titans, though, by the way, though, too. I mean, again, I really like what Will Levis was able to do with these guys. It would be interesting to see what the new coaching staff.
Tony Pollard is now in the running. Yeah. That's something that they moved on from the high-priced Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, who can bring on a decent contract?
I'm wondering what this offense would be like.
And then you've got Ty J. Spears, mm-hmm. who freaking killed it when he was given the opportunity last year. Very shifty type of running back. Now you've got Tony Pollard, who's kind of the same but a little bit more physical. That, man, you're looking at a really nice 1-2 punch there. You got these new wide receivers at your disposal. And Treylon Burks is basically the fourth option now. Mm-hmm. So if you don't believe me, go to their depth chart and take a look. Treylon Burks, who's been injured a lot, now is the fourth option on that receiving core, which is not a bad thing. It's a good thing because that shows that they are building that team up. So I'm really excited to see what Tennessee can do this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but sticking with the AFC for me, and I talked about it possibly, you know, Robert Saleh being on the chopping block in the hot seat, but the Jets, like you said, they're kind of geared to win if you have Aaron Rodgers there, stays completely healthy mm-hmm. with the weapons. You, in that defense, if they are top four again, there's no excuses there that you could be there. So that could be one of those teams, and especially if it comes to fruition, or you're saying even Josh Allen not having Stephon Diggs in those weapons.
That's a big deal.
Getting bounced out. You know what I mean? And Miami is always kind of a weird team. You know what I mean? How are they going to play? So I think in that division, I think the Jets could you know, put a running in and make the playoffs in that one. If you want to look at NFC, I might look at that same division when you're talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers moving back and that division getting better and tighter. Possibly the Saints moving in. They get their shit together and finally, you know, do what I thought they were going to do last year and take that division and work, you know, with the weapons that they have.
Well, now that they fired Pete Carmichael, I think they'll be better.
There you go.
So there's always that.
Nice. So, I mean, there you go. I mean, I think those are a couple of dark horse teams there. NFC side, I think a lot of those teams are still going to stay strong. So, I don't think there's going to be a lot of different change there. I think Green Bay's still good. I think Dallas and Philadelphia is still going to be there. I don't think the Giants or Washington's going to jump in. You never know.
So. Here's the crazy thing about the NFC is that nobody in that whole conference is out of the realm of possibility of making the playoffs. Yeah. We've seen that.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to now our final question here. Who will be the league MVP, Joe? All right, are you gonna jump out of the ordinary and just, you know, try and guess?
Yeah, that's what we're doing. We're taking educated guess here.
I know, but educated could be like, well, it's probably going to be one of these guys possibly, but are we going to see a dark horse MVP in this one?
Yeah, I think somebody who's not getting enough recognition, even last year, who had a very, very good year, never really got brought up in the MVP discussion. Everybody was talking about Mahomes because he's the fan favorite. Lamar Jackson, another fan favorite. Purdy and Dak Prescott last year obviously were the top two quarterbacks that deserved it but didn't get it. I'm going with Jared Goff this year.
Oh,
I think Jared Goff for the Detroit Lions is going to – not only did he have a phenomenal year last year, look at 67% completion percentage, over 4,500 passing yards, 30 touchdowns, only 12 interceptions with a QBR of 97.9 last season. Mm-hmm. And now you look at what the Detroit Lions did for Jared. They re-signed and extended Penei Sewell. They re-signed and extended Amon-Ra St. Brown. So they've locked in key components of that offense to make sure they don't go nowhere. And then you're putting a team that had such a tremendous run in the playoffs and was looking very strong down the stretch, that you look at the defense. They've upgraded on the defensive side. The offense is super solid now. You look at Sam Laporta coming back in his second year. His rookie season was tremendous. And now he's going to be 100% healthy coming into this year. Laporta is going to take – I know it sounds crazy, but he had such a successful rookie season. He's going to have an even better second year with Jared Goff. That chemistry is built up big time now. You know. And then Jameson Williams, everybody seems to forget about him because he wasn't the number one starter last year. He did get in the lineup a lot more often in the rotation and everything, and you saw his explosiveness. You saw him being able to stretch the field and catch deep bombs and touchdowns for first downs and whatnot. So there's a lot of excitement for him, and technically this is his second year because his rookie year, he was out for the whole season. He didn't even step foot on the football field. So technically his second year in the NFL playing, and he's going to take a more prominent role. Now he is going to be a starter opposite Amon-Ra. He's going to have that explosiveness. And then don't forget Jahmyr Gibbs in the backfield. Like, offensive line is tremendous. Like, this, everything is in preparation for Goff to literally light up the league. And for the first time, this Detroit Lions organization finally has the right regime in place, the right leadership in place. And we've seen what they did last year. They're going to be a tough team to deal with this year. So Jared Goff, I love what he's able to become as a quarterback, and now he's found his home. He also got a huge extension. You know, they locked him up too. Like, you know that they have a ton of confidence in him as well. So Goff, to me, is going to be the MVP.
I like it. That is a out of the ordinary pick, but I like it, Joe. I like it what you're picking up there. Again, it's easy to go with traditional Patrick Mahomes, right. Lamar. It's funny, too, because those guys have won multiple times in the just recent years. And I've looked at even the last 10 years, and a lot of the same names, you know, over and over again. And I think the most in the NFL that somebody's ever won is Peyton Manning with 5, and Aaron Rodgers is 4. Do we see Aaron Rodgers now do play well with the Jets? They make the playoffs, and lo and behold, Aaron Rodgers back there, league MVP, tying Peyton Manning for the most league MVPs right there, Joe.
It's definitely a possibility, man. It's hard to imagine him not returning back to his stature that he once had, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you look at that Jets team, it's built to win now. Like, there's no concern about, oh, well, we don't have enough receivers. Our offensive line's weak. There's no issues anymore. You got really good everything on offense. That, like, now it's time to put the work in. Mm-hmm. Now it's time for Rodgers to kind of like, hey, everybody forgot about me because I got hurt last year. Well, guess what's happening right now? I'm throwing 40 touchdowns and only throwing 9 interceptions. Like, I'm just going to take over the league. Mm-hmm. So it's very possible, Jim, that Rodgers does return back to that status. Mm-hmm. And definitely I could easily see that.
Right, and if you look at league MVPs, again, I'm looking at the other names that are involved. Again, all Hall of Famers and stuff. It's funny, right, too, on the way it happens and who's traditionally picked. I would like to say Brock Purdy because I think, again, if he plays like he did last year again, very clean. Mm-hmm. I just don't know about stigma, getting past the stigma of who he might be and things like that. How amazing would it be that he is there, you know, again, the last player picked in the draft. Still doesn't make a lot of money. Still playing well.
Yeah.
And now – bang, now league MVP, and how that would change his money status, too, on top of everything, too, because that would change a lot of different things with that team, and that's why that team has been successful, I think, too, being able to lock in all those good players
without
keep that nucleus together.
Even without him winning MVP, which, honestly, he should have won it last year. Mm-hmm. He should have won it. Him or Dak should have won it. But now going into this year, Brock Purdy, such a sound quarterback, such a really good quarterback, like, He had a bad stigma last season. Oh, he's turning the ball over. They lost the game because of him. Like, no. Does anybody pay attention to him as a the whole season? What he was able to do was insane. Mm-hmm. Like, look at his stats. Go back and actually look at them instead of just kind of making a judgment call because you saw one or two bad games. Like, every quarterback has them. So, like, Purdy had did a phenomenal job last year. And Dak Prescott, as much as, like, we kind of bag on him here and there, Dak Prescott was another guy, another candidate last year that had such a great year that he should have been in that discussion of MVP. So, yeah. I think both those guys got shafted last season for that MVP award. And Lamar Jackson, to me, was, like, a guy that came from left field out of nowhere, and they gave it to him, and it's like,
I think just all-purpose yards and things like that.
No, yeah, you look at I looked at his stats, and that's why when we had that show, like when we thought who's going to be MVP, and this is what we thought. But you look at the Lamar Jackson, look at passing game, look at the passing categories. Where did he lead at all in passing? That's the whole thing. His quarterback, like, his rushing yards was good, but not great. Mm-hmm. So it's like, to me, it was like you just kind of gifted him that MVP award.
Mm-hmm. And that brings up the question, I guess, with, you know, and maybe that's even for another show, another discussion, but to where I've almost tried to look at the quarterback position myself and kind of change my point. Do I need to change my point of view the way I look at a quarterback?
Yes.
Because, again, we think of quarterback as the guy behind the center that throws the ball but hands off if he has to. But basically, if quarterback – he runs the offense. So if the offense just mainly deals with you running and handing off to another running back, or you doing it yourself, does that really change the way we look at, you know, quarterbacks? I mean, should we just say, look at all of his passing yards? Should we look at this? We should just look at the way he runs the offense. And if he is playing at an elite level with that offense, the way it is run, then maybe he should have been league MVP just the way he was.
But he wasn't
playing quarterback, because if we're taking it all by passing yards, maybe we do need to change our perspective and what we maybe see, what we always have maybe seen as a quarterback, you know, in that role.
It's not just passing yards, though. Like, it's everything as a quarterback. Like, that's your job, is to distribute the football. And if you're judging it now more like, oh, well, he's handing the ball off and then he runs himself and it kind of messes up the defense, and he's successful at running, not so much at passing, but he's still successful at running. Like, that to me is your glorified running back running with the football and not throwing and doing enough as a quarterback, because quarterback is to distribute the football. It's not always throwing the football. I get it, because now in the modern era, you have these more mobile quarterbacks that can do both. But Lamar Jackson has always been seen as a guy who he can kill you with his legs. And yes, he's a better passer now than he was when he first came into the league. But again, when it comes to comparing him against other quarterbacks, and in any statistical category you look at, even in running rushing yards, he wasn't even in the top 10 for rushing yards. And you wouldn't think that because he's not a running back. But if everyone says he's such an elite mobile athlete that runs the ball a lot, he should be in that category. If you want to make an argument for him to be MVP, he's got to be in the top of something. And for quarterback, it has to be, a lot of it does have to be involved with passing. And if he's that great of a runner, he should be somewhere in the top 10 of rushing, but he's not. So where do you go with him being the MVP when he's not killing it in terms of running the football, like, stat-wise, and then you look at him as a quarterback, like, as a passer of the football, and you're like, well, he's not in those categories either. Like, doesn't have yards, doesn't have passing touchdowns. You know what I mean? So it has to encompass everything as a quarterback. And I get rushing for him is part of it, but again, he wasn't stellar in those categories either.
Yeah. All right, well, that's, again, maybe a conversation for another show. We'll see what happens when the season gets going, you know, see what Lamar Jackson does.
Hey, Lamar, by the way, week one, little tip, don't stop running the ball yourself in the second half. You might beat the Chiefs that way.
Yeah. Another team that he had the Chiefs on the ropes and just let it go. And that's what sometimes happens,
because
you can't let those good teams do that to you. We've seen it multiple times with the Patriots. But, you know, we talked about league MVP, Joe. Tell everybody about the MVP of podcasts out there, Grumblings Media.
That's right, Grumblings Media. That's the MVP.
Boom. Like,
if you guys want some great podcasts to go to, like ours, like the show, it's amazing. I know. But go to grumblingsmedia.com. head over there, follow grumblingsmedia.com. They got all kinds of podcasts. I mean, anything from politics, anything for sports, anything for entertainment. That's what it's all about, entertainment. You know, and grumblingsmedia.com brings that to you every single week with different podcasts on different days. It's definitely the one-stop shop to go for podcasting, guys. You don't need to go to anywhere else. You got all these famous networks out there that are like, oh, well, you know, we cover this and we cover that. Well, guess what? We have a network that covers everything. It's simple as that. Head over to YouTube. Go to Grumblings Media on YouTube. Make sure you smash that subscribe button. Make sure you like it. Make sure you share it. Comment down below because we're the most interactive NFL talk show you'll find. We are going to respond to everybody. Other than that,
if you don't like to watch us, listen to us on the podcast too as well on Apple, Spotify. What else, Joe? Pandora.
That's where we
got it all out there. Get it to
Apple, Spotify, Google, Pandora. Everything that you need. We're also you can take us on the go with you and become part of Blitz Nation for sure.
Absolutely, we love it, Blitz Nation out there. All right, so Joe, you came upon an article, right, on Bleacher Report, and this is what it was, and they brought up the fact that they had their like top best draft classes of the modern era here, Joe. Mm-hmm. And they had a list and different graphics here for the couple that they selected. And we even saw a few that probably should be on that list, and others did in the comments too as well. If you guys too agree or not on this list, let us know in the comments. And if you think of a roster or a draft class for a specific team that you think should be on this list, let us know, too, in the comments as well. So let's run down the first one that they have here. And they're going a bit back here. You know, it's the last 10 years, at least a decade here. They're looking at the Patriots and what the Patriots did here. In 2010, Devin McCourty, Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez, and Brandon Spikes. They're saying those were key players in that draft that made that one of the best drafts in the modern era here.
Yeah, all had great long-term careers, were impact players. That was a really good draft for the Patriots, and you can Bill Belichick can kind of give him a pat on the back for all that. That was a great draft for them, and it actually led to them becoming that dynasty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean again, impact players and Hernandez, if he didn't get involved in everything he was getting into,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, if he is
he. Yeah,
him and Gronk, if they stayed together yeah. that long, oh my gosh. I mean, and the Patriots were dominant before anyways. But, with him still on the team, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, Gronk was definitely a difference maker for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, so here we go. 2010, staying with that year, the Seahawks. They drafted Russell Okung, Earl Thomas, Golden Tate, Walter Thurman, and Cam Chancellor. Now, with this one... I think, again, a lot of talent to where a lot of guys, I don't think we're, but it was funny, even when we look at Cam Chancellor, remember when Madden rated him, like, terrible? They didn't think much of Cam Chancellor, but he ended up being a lights-out player.
Towards the end of his career, yeah.
It was kind of funny. But Golden Tate, kind of a sneaky player. You know, the thing is with the Seattle Seahawks, too, I think they got a lot of stuff done with a lot of players. Like, remember when Chris Carter was even saying, it's like, oh, those guys aren't the main entree. They're like, just the snack or the dessert or whatever. And Doug Baldwin took offense to all that stuff. And I think this team back in that day when they even had the Legion of Boom, I think was pretty good with getting a lot out of guys that a lot of people didn't expect, to be playing at an elite level. And I think this draft, I mean, there were some good players, especially on the defensive side of the ball that helped the Seattle Seahawks a lot.
Really good. And that's kind of what helped form the Legion of Boom. That mm-hmm. secondary that they put together was tremendous. So those guys,
safeties right
again,
there.
Long-term careers, all had super successful. And Golden Tate, like, I'm sorry. Definitely, arguably, one of the better receivers that don't get spoken of.
Mm-hmm.
So, tough to deal with, tough to cover. Like, the guy does everything extremely well. So, and he's still doing it today. So,
yep. All right, so here we go. Next up, we've got the Seahawks in 2012 now. They added to that team. And Bruce Irvin, Bobby Wagner, Russell Wilson, Robert Turbin, and Jeremy Lane. And this is, I think, a really the bigger one. I mean, like you said, Golden Tate was good, and you've got Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor, so you've got your back two safeties, which is good. But this is where Russell Wilson, again, because before we talked about it, a couple of our guys that watch our show religiously, they had Matt Flynn. You know, they grabbed Matt Flynn and they thought he was kind of the guy. Russell Wilson, they draft him. He ends up being the starter, and, you know, kind of the rest was history. You know, that really set them off to where they needed to go underneath this umbrella of this tough defense that they had. And a lot of the players in this draft right here are key parts. Bobby Wagner, Turbin, oh my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is, like, you see from these players being selected, like, that's the best way to build your team is through the draft. I know people keep saying it, but it's like, it's almost sometimes you see some organizations that continue to lose because like, oh, well, let's get a couple of these big time free agents and that's going to really help us win. It's not really there. It's the draft. You have to hit on your draft picks. And when you do, you see what Seattle Seahawks were able to do is put together a winning team, a team that won a Super Bowl, and tremendous success for a long period of time. They were definitely contenders every year then.
All right. Keep it moving here. Back in 2014, now your Raiders, Khalil Mack, Derek Carr, Gabe Jackson, and Shelby Harris on this one. Now, you know, a couple of these players aren't on the team anymore. But a couple. Yeah, I think all of
none
them,
of
right?
Them.
None of them are, yeah. So, and Khalil Mack was, again, big for their team, you know, at the time. Derek Carr, again.
Great picks.
But just, again, now, unfortunately, didn't really pan out with them all together in the long haul. But a lot has transpired with that franchise since then.
And that's the thing that's, you know, a little disheartening for a lot of Raider fans is because they were all great picks. Gabe Jackson was a Pro Bowl guard. You know, Derek Carr, he was in the MVP race before. Like, and people seem to forget how good Carr is and still is. And then Khalil Mack, like, that draft right there was crazy. For you to get a premier pass rusher and a starting caliber quarterback and a really good one at that, and an offensive lineman who's a Pro Bowl, like, there's a lot to like with that draft. And that draft kind of transformed the Raiders going forward. Obviously, before the Khalil Mack trade, because they couldn't afford to keep him, and Derek Carr, that kind of rift with Josh McDaniels, and then they freaking got rid of him. But before that all happened, that team was on a roll. That team was starting to build something where they were going to be a competitive playoff team and push for the playoffs. And sadly, like just recently, it kind of got dismantled. No, Carr's not there anymore. Mack hasn't been there. Now a Charger.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sucks when you – that's the problem with it. It's a business, right? It's a business, and we don't agree with all the decisions that our teams make, but we got to live with them as fans, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now we've got the 2017 Saints, Marshawn Lattimore, Ryan Ramczyk, Marcus Williams, Alvin Kamara, Alex Anzalone. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Trey Hendrickson. Dude, that one has got to be one of the best ones out there. That's lights out.
The last one. Like, all those great players, right? Yeah, they're all great players. They're all big-time names. But Trey Hendrickson, why did the Saints allow him to leave? Like, ends up going to Cincinnati and you know what I mean? Like, they've been thirsting for a D-end, a true pass rusher. Mm. They had one that in their wings. They had him.
Yeah.
And they kind of just let him go. And, here's my thing is, like, everybody says, oh, well, we couldn't afford him. Well, you see other teams somehow afford people, right? Look at the Eagles, what they did this offseason. Mm-hmm. I didn't think with all the talent that they have that they were going to be able to keep this core together. They not only signed Devontae Smith and locked him up for long term, they also went, turned around and got A.J. Brown and locked him up.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue. Like, there's a way to manipulate the cap. There's a way to, if you really want to keep a player, you can make contracts happen. And I know it's fun to have that cap situation, who's going, who's staying, that whole thing. But in the end, you see teams do it over and over and over. Look at the Cowboys. They managed to keep a bunch of their talent together until they were like, well, maybe it's time to move on. So it's sad to see players go when they say they can't afford them, but some teams make it work. So
Because again, now you're leaving Cam Jordan out there to do it all on his own, and now he's getting older too. You know what I mean? So
honestly,
imagine if they were there on the, you know, together. I mean,
honestly, with Cam, he's not. Listen, he's still good, but he's not as productive. He's like much like a DeMarcus Lawrence, right? Mm-hmm. DeMarcus Lawrence for the Cowboys, same thing. for the Saints. The production isn't there anymore, and you're paying this dude tons of money. Can you get out of the contract? I would if I could. Like, just get out of the contract because you're overpaying the guy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, next up, we've got the 2018 Colts now, Joe. Here we go. Quentin Nelson, that was big.
Boom.
Oh, man. Darius Leonard, he hit right on the spot too as well. Braden amazing Smith, Nyheim Hines, Zaire Franklin, Nyheim Hines again too.
Underrated,
and that was one of those guys that, because of injuries, he ended up even jumping up, in there a lot of times and taking a lot of workload and being the guy for them. So that was a nice sneaky pick that worked out for them.
Yeah, a couple of underrated guys in that draft, guys that were very versatile players for the Colts. But man, I mean, these are great drafts. Honestly, when you think about it, what you would love to do every single year if you could is hit on 3 to 4 picks. And that's going to dramatically change your team and get you better faster. So these are examples of when you hit on your picks, what it can do for your organization.
Yep, absolutely. All right, we got a couple left here. 2018, the Ravens. Hayden Hurst, Lamar Jackson, Orlando Brown Jr., Mark Andrews, Deshaun Elliott, Bradley Bozeman, and Zach, I can't even see that one right now, Schuyler. I don't know who that one is. I'm sorry. I apologize for that one. But
you should.
Hayden Hurst, Lamar Jackson, again, Orlando Brown. These are all bang, bang, bang elite players for these guys. Again, and the fact that Mark Andrews drafted the same year as Lamar Jackson, and boom, they're like hand in hand. You know what I mean? When you talk about like wide receiver duo with a quarterback, I mean, these two are tight end, quarterback duos, much like, Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. If there's nobody else there, or if you're getting towards that end zone, you know who it's going to.
Yeah, tight ends are a quarterback's best friend. Mm-hmm. And when you have the ability to come in at the same time and develop that chemistry right away, Mark Andrews was a very underrated tight end coming out in that class. And for the Ravens to get not only him and their answer at quarterback, they also added Pro Bowl offensive line to that list. So you look at that draft and how transformative they were able to make their team in one draft, completely change that offense and made them instant competition for everybody.
Mm-hmm. All right, next up here, I think the two more teams, they have two more rosters. 2019, Titans here, Jeffrey Simmons, A.J. Brown, Armani Hooker, and David Long. Again, A.J. Brown no longer with the team anymore, but jumped instantly on the scene, electric player. Jeffrey Simmons still getting it done on that defensive side of the
guy's
ball,
amazing.
Dude. He's crazy. Like, sometimes it's just you think he's the only guy on that defense doing anything.
We talk about all the time underrated guys, under guys that are not talked about in regular circles that they should be. Jeffrey Simmons is that guy.
Yeah.
He's a D tackle that is unbelievable what he's able to do. And in that defense, which is interesting because they do play a 3-4 defense, that he can play D end. And he can play nose if you need him to. Like, guy's super versatile, great player. But A.J. Brown, to me, will always be the downfall of Tennessee before this season, where they allowed that dude to walk out the building to just go join a team like the Eagles. They should have paid the man. You keep a guy like with that kind of talent. You keep him so that way when you do find your quarterback, like, here's Will Levis. Imagine if Will Levis gets drafted, and he's coming to A.J. Brown to be able to throw to him, that would have been a sight to see for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, and finally here for their lists, they have the 2020 Bengals here with Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, Logan Wilson, and Akeem Davis Gaither. Changing for their franchise.
Yeah, starters.
Because again, we talked about the Bengals and kind of being that team that was kind of consistently kind of making the playoffs here, had some good quarterbacks there, Carson, Palmer and things, and doing well, but Joe Burrow jumping into this team and instantly success. You know, I mean, we thought that even when he jumped on his team with Jamar Chase, they were a young group going to build and get there in a few seasons. They did it right away, just started clicking, and what a game changer for them.
Yeah, I mean, when you were both at the same college, you already built that chemistry. You already understand how Ja'Marr Chase runs routes and Joe Burrow just for him. It was almost like it was too good to be true for Joe Burrow, where the Bengals drafted Ja'Marr Chase and he's like, holy crap, I got my best friend and my number one receiver all in one. So it's like you're feeding him the football and it just, and then to top it off with T. Higgins being added to the team, tremendous talented player. We don't know his future with Cincinnati because it sounds like he wants out. But man, to put those pieces together and you just created a very good offense. It's truly a tremendous thing. And these are all teams that won in the draft big time.
All right. And so Joe, when we look at these ones, these are the 10 or so that they picked in the modern era. We looked at this and said, yeah, these are really good. But they're even missing some. Are there a few in the most recent years? So I know you did your digging too, and we looked at a few of these, and you came up with the 2021 Detroit Lions here. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the players here. Derek Barnes, Ifeatu, I can't even say it, pronounce his last name.
Melifonwu,
yeah, I thought so. Amon St. Brown, Penei Sewell, Mitchell, Joshua, I can't even see what his last name is, but so many players here for this team that are making a difference right now, especially on their playoff run here, Joe, and what they were able to do. Now you added Jared Goff into the mix with those guys, a born leader here that was already been to the Super Bowl here with the Rams. Now you have this nucleus with them, and they're doing things on the field all over here.
Yeah, you get a Pro Bowl tackle with Penei Sewell, one of the best tackles in the league. Mm-hmm. You also get one of the best receivers that kind of goes overlooked in Amon-Ra St. Brown, who, again, we talk about guys that go overlooked in the award ceremony. Amon-Ra St. Brown was literally, clipping the heels of CeeDee Lamb, and nobody really talked about him. But, man, did that guy have a tremendous year? So you think about those two players, just them, as being as good as they are, and then to put a few other prospects with them that are starter worthy, that are guys that compete every given week. Like, when this is the thing, is like you can change your roster around by having a really good draft, and this is just evidence of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so finally, too, here there's the other roster that you came up with, and that was the same 2021 Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
We've got with Trey Smith here, Noah Gray, Darnell Powell, Nick Bolton, Humphrey, and then also Joshua Kando, right? Is that what that is? Yeah.
I don't have the list.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's tough to see sometimes with the graphics that we have, but
excuses.
Yeah, excuses. Come there on. You go. I'm getting old now, Joe.
Where's your glasses?
But yeah, in 2020, there you go. And again, key guys here, that really helped get that nucleus together here for the Kansas City Chiefs. And like you said, you had, Patrick Mahomes and those guys on top of it. I mean, it's success right there. What a great draft for the Kansas City Chiefs. And they've been doing it. And that's the thing about when we talked about with the Chiefs before, the fact they even turn around some players here and there, and the fact that they're a dynasty, it's the way they're running their organization right now.
Here's the thing is the moral of the story is with all these picks, all these teams taking these certain players, almost all of them are BPA picks, best player available. And that's how you can win the draft for your team. The Chiefs, they pick at the bottom of the first round all the time, right? But they were able to come away with guys like Noah Gray, who one of the most underrated tight ends, a guy that's very versatile, can even play slot for you. Very gifted player. And then Trey Smith, who they got late in the rounds, ends up being a Pro Bowl guard for them. Amazing draft for them to kind of every single year, they take what falls to them. You look at this year, they didn't panic. They didn't try to trade up. They're like, you know what? It's so full of value, so full of great players in this draft. We don't have to worry about it. We'll just stay pat and we'll take whoever comes to us, whoever we like. Xavier Worthy, they end up taking, who is the fastest guy on the planet Earth. And let's see what Andy Reid can do. We talked about how he's not your prototypical receiver that you can just put at the line, and then if he gets bump and run coverage, he'll end up getting knocked out of the ring here because he's so light. But let's see how creative Andy Reid is going to be with them on jet sweeps, freeing him up to have free releases. It's going to be exciting to watch for Chiefs fans, especially to see what Andy Reid can concoct in this offense of theirs. So great draft by the Chiefs in 2021. And that's kind of as early as you can go.
Yeah.
You can't go any sooner. And I understand for like some of our viewers, that's why we didn't go back farther. We could have went back beyond 2010, like 2005 and, you know, way back then and try to figure things out. But we did it. We did a newer one. So a lot of people can kind of gauge on how well, a couple of these teams have already drafted.
All right, yeah, so there you go. That's the list that they had. That's what we came up with. What do you guys think? Again, let us know in the comments, you know, below. And comment on the show afterwards. If you guys haven't watched the live stream, you could always check it out after the fact. Joe, tell everybody out there, all the Blitz Nation, where they could hear a podcast like this again and watch older shows, and then also some of the other stuff that we have there as
Very simple. You know, you just have to go to grumblingsmedia.com. That's grumblingsmedia.com. Definitely go there to that website. Check it out. They got everything that you need in podcasts. It's your one-stop place to go to. So go to grumblingsmedia.com. Go to Grumblings Media on YouTube or Facebook. Hit us up with anything that you want to look at. Political podcasts, sports podcasts, entertainment podcasts, anywhere you get your audio versions from Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora. It's all there. Make sure you follow us. Make sure you like our YouTube show. Make sure you share it. Comment down below. Listen, this is one of those rare NFL talk shows that you can comment and we will read your comments. We will react to it. We will make it a part of the conversation. So become part of the Blitz Nation and join Grumblings Media.
All right. That's it for us this week. We'll see you guys next time.